How many people have your Bibles this morning? If you have your Bible, stand and raise it above your head. Bear witness of God's Word. You may be seated. Turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to read verses 1 through 7 with you. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This morning, I read this passage of Scripture because this was written by Paul to a young man named Timothy. And Timothy, as we know by the Scripture, was not blessed to have a father in his life, and Paul became his father, per se. He took him under his wings, and 2 Timothy is a place in Scripture that we know that Paul was living his last days, and he was writing this letter to Timothy to give him instructions in a fatherly way, giving him advice, telling him what he should do, and telling him the situations he was going to be in. So I see in this passage of Scripture the direction that we need to use today, especially in a graduate service. And today I'm honored to stand in front of these young people who graduated from high school and college, for each one of them a major chapter in their life is being closed and a new chapter will begin. Timothy was beginning a new chapter and Paul was giving him instruction. The reason that we know that it's pertinent to today is because when we read verses 1 through 7, we see that, hey, these must be the last days. Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And as we begin to read the description, it says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. We see that more today. There's never been a time to where people are more concerned with their selfish ambitions than this day and time. A proud people, boasters, blasphemous. To hear some of the things that are said today out loud, you would have shook in your shoes 30 years ago to know the things that are said that are blasphemous. I look at verse 3 where it says, without natural affection, truce breakers, despisers of those that are good. When we read something like without natural affection, understand that it's talking about going against the natural things. If you've lived in a shell the past year, or maybe you've looked at some kind of TV, or hopefully you'll know what I'm talking about, but no matter what newscast you watch or public form of media, what school forum you talk to, there's a difference in opinion on things. We've looked at the issue of homosexuality as a nation, and we've seen it be pressed upon us to be able to accept a man and a man and a woman and a woman, and the Bible says that's not natural. In other words, we've come to a society that for the most part accepts things that are without natural affection. What do you mean without natural? Well, it's just not natural. The birds understand it, the animals understand it, but us higher form of intellect, we don't get it, right? I mean, if you've reached an eighth grade level and understand anatomy at all, you understand God had a purpose here. Amen. He made us to where it's not too hard to figure out, is it? And then if you look at the news and you see that even this week, the devil is just jumping for joy when he can have a man who in the past in society was celebrated as the man, the Olympic athlete, who can lay down his role as a man and become a woman. And you would have people that are looking at it be so afraid That they're going to step outside of the political correctness, that when you hear someone commentate on it, they'll use the words, "He's so brave." What's happened? It's not brave to stand in front of God and say, "God, you're wrong, and I'm going to just be able to go out and show the world that I'm right." That's not brave. That's dumb. And it's blasphemous. Understand that if you were going to explain to a child that's what's happening, it would take longer because it's not the child's natural thought. Paul realized Timothy was going to be coming up against things like this, and I realize this generation is coming up against things like this. When they go to a higher level of education, as if they haven't heard it already, then that's going to be the overwhelming agenda, the overwhelming campaign. Those will be the people that are holding the signs. If you don't believe it, cut your TV on and see who the champions of the liberal issues are. It will be the next level that you're going to. For some of the people that are sitting in front of me, some of the graduates, they'll continue their education. They'll go to a new environment. They'll go to a college. They'll go to interact with new people. They'll hear new ideas. They'll learn new things. They'll be exposed to new opportunities. For others that are here, they'll go into the workforce. And they'll begin their new careers in a new environment, interact with new people. They'll hear new ideas. They'll be exposed to new opportunities. But verse 7 of 2 Timothy 3 says, with this generation, with the people who have turned against, with the society who has turned against God, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you know that you can learn and learn and learn, but never really know the truth? It depends on who you're letting teach you. You see, each one of these people here are starting a new chapter in their life. You've started new chapters in your life before, right? You see, as one chapter closes, another chapter begins. And today, as we celebrate the accomplishment of the chapter that these young people have completed, we send them off with cheers to begin their new chapter in life. And if that is all we do, then God help us. Because the new chapter that they're going forward to be able to pursue, it's going to require things that they learned in previous chapters of their life. You can't just say, good luck, good success. The Bible addresses it. Paul addressed it to Timothy, so we want to address it today. You know, sometimes we struggle in between the chapters of our lives. And as we begin to start a new chapter, we're exposed to new environments and new people and new ideas and new learning and new opportunities. We begin to let go of the things that we've always known as truth. Have you ever seen this happen? Maybe it's happened to you in your life's parents or grandparents, or maybe you're one of the ones it's happened to. But as soon as you go a new place and begin to learn new things, you take that knowledge and you think you know more than the person that taught you. And there are things that you've known were right and wrong all of your life, and all of a sudden you've been enlightened because you're now ever learning. But the truth is, you're never coming to the truth. I've had discussions with parents where they've always taught one way in their house, but now their children have come home and they would gladly debate them with this new knowledge that they have because they know everything. They've learned and they want to stand and go toe-to-toe and say, you're closed-minded. This is not the way it is. Now that I've been out and I've seen, I'm the one that knows. The Bible says ever learning and never coming to the truth. I don't want you to go into society and be ever learning, but never come to the truth. Today, you have finished a chapter, and you're starting a new chapter. And this message today is not just for the graduating class, if you've lived in this world past the point that these young people have lived today, then you know that life's full of new chapters, isn't it? Isn't it? As a child begins school and leaves the comfort of being by itself or just with siblings or maybe with parents, and it starts a structured school and begins to have new friends. I hear parents all the time talk about, well, they came home and they've never said this before. Or why all of a sudden are they doing this? Well, it's because a new chapter is starting. They're influenced with new opportunities. They have new ways of learning. They're around new people. You see how new chapters happen? As a child becomes a young person, begins to be around others who don't have the same Christian convictions. Even you young people who have been in church and been raised in church, you realize as you enter the school system, you enter a new team, you enter a new activity, a new group, you're exposed to new people that have different ideas, and they might not be Christian ideas. That's a new chapter. And as the young people become adults and begin to live outside of the supervision of their parents, there's a new chapter that happens. You've left home, maybe you're going to school, and maybe you in here, you've went to school, and all of a sudden a new chapter's happened. I'm basically on my own for the first time, and let's try it my way. And so you'll have an opportunity to that new chapter. And as young people begin to have opportunities to participate or not participate in sins of the flesh, as their physical body matures, new chapters are opened. As these young people become adults, and the adults begin to start their own families, new chapters happen. As job changes begin to start and require each person who has a job change to maybe move to a new place, and they're surrounded by new people, new chapters happen. New neighbors, new friends, new churches, new chapters. And you know, some have closed the chapter of being at the workforce. They're retired now. And so they have a new chapter in life. You see, you never get through going through new chapters. Some you decide, some you don't decide. I counsel people quite a bit that have lost a loved one that they've lived with their entire life. And so right now they're learning to live in a new chapter. That's a chapter without the person that they lived. Life's full of new chapters, isn't it? So we know that life as a book has many chapters. And every time you finish one chapter, a new chapter begins. And it's no different than school. I realized that as I went through school, we learned things in books and textbooks, and those books were in chapters. And each time we finished a chapter, we would have what is known as what? A chapter test. Life's no different. Every new chapter that you start will have a chapter test. Here's the thing that we fail to realize. If you never pass the test, you never get to go to the next chapter. And you have to take the test to pass the test. What we fail to think about is that all these chapters that we finish and that we begin are what make up our own personal book. Every day of our lives, we're recording a page of the book that's written just about us. Do you realize that? You have your own book. This book's not a private book like we sometimes think, although it is a book that others see and watch our lives. This book is a book that God is writing on each and every one of us. Do you know that God's writing a book on you? And it has chapters. These young people are starting a new chapter, which will be in their book. The Bible says that each man has a book, and he gives us reference to this in the book of Revelation, where we see that even in the last days, at the end, when every man is judged, and the Bible speaks about the white throne judgment, where all those who have refused Jesus Christ, they stand in front of Jesus, stand in front of God, And the Bible tells us in Revelation 20:12, it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." That's plural. Did you hear that? The books were open. "And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works." So understand, at the final judgment, the white throne judgment, where those who refuse to accept Jesus as their Savior, they stand there. It says there's not just a book that's open. Books are opened. And we've learned this. I preached on this not too long ago. So you should remember. There's a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you realize I'm separated from God by my sin. So I have to accept the only atoning sacrifice, which is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who shed His blood as a sacrifice on the altar of the cross. That's where He was sacrificed. You have to believe it. Accept that. When you do, then you become a child of God, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It says that book's open, but it says the other books were open. Now, what are those other books? Those are all of our books. I have a book, you have a book, you have a book, you have a book. Everybody has a book. What's in those books? Our chapters. And so before a person is able to receive what they have coming to them, all the books have to be open. My book and your book. If your book or my book is open, then there is no chapter where you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then God is gracious enough to double check that against the Lamb's Book of Life, where it says, name's not here. Listen to this again. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the Book of Life." So we've looked in your book, Mr. Schoaf, and there's no page, no chapter where you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And another book was open. We're going to check and make sure the Lamb's Book of Life is not here. Well, verse 15 said, "And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire." Yes, sir. So let's get real with it. Yeah. Book's pretty important, isn't it? Lake of fire is hell. It's eternal hell. So if none of our new chapters in our Book of Life include accepting Jesus as our Savior, then our names are not going to be in the Book of Life. And no matter what exciting things that you've written in your book, "I did this and I had a career in this," and you wouldn't believe there's a chapter in my book when I met this person and we did all these things. There's a chapter in my book where I focused on all my hobbies and I had fun. There's a chapter in my book when I went out and I lived and I experienced this. And there's a chapter in my book when I had this great job. And there's a chapter in my book whenever I was able to do this and people thought this of me. It doesn't matter. If there's not a chapter where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your final chapter is going to be in the lake of fire. That's a grave reality, isn't it? And you say, "Well, I'm glad I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's preaching to somebody else." Well, you see, I want to bring this back around because I needed to have something like this preached to me before I started my new chapter that these young people are starting. You see, each one of them here I've had to have conversation with, and they profess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've actually met and talked with each one, have a relationship with each one of these young people. So they're professing they're saved. So you say, "Well, you're preaching to the wrong people." Well, now, listen. Most of you here profess Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm not just preaching to graduates today. You see, everybody here that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they began a new chapter when they were saved. And even though you begin new chapters in other areas, whether it be job, whether it be relationship, the fact that you were born again into the family of God is a chapter in your life's book that you'll continue to add to until you leave this earth. And the chapter of your life is the final chapter. You see, the chapter that you get saved in, the chapter that you become a child of God in. That chapter is going to be read one day, and the decision that you made in each new chapter of your life will be used to judge you as you stand in front of Jesus. I'm talking to Christians. So get this picture with me. You have a book. I want you to tell the person beside of you, you have a book. Now here's the reality. Do you know that in your book and in my book, there was an insert put in yesterday? It was whatever you did. If you're a Christian, did you add to your chapter, that chapter you got saved? Yes. Did you add to it yesterday? Are you adding to it today? You say, well, I'm busy. You see, that's the problem. We're busy with our new chapters, right? We're making all kind of additions in our new chapters. Look what I'm doing here. Look what I'm doing here. But are you adding anything to the major chapter, that chapter you got saved in? Because you see, if you think about this, in your book, in my book, if we're adding to our new chapter, these young people, some are going to college, some are going into the workforce, that new chapter, if they're not using the main chapter, the major chapter, the chapter that they became a Christian in, the chapter they got saved in, if they're not weighing the new chapter against the main chapter, the new chapter will be a failure. They'll start all these new chapters and never find peace and never find happiness because the chapter you found the Lord in is a chapter that doesn't end until eternity. Pretty big deal. Pretty important book. You say, well, how do you know that our book's going to be read? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Our book's going to be read by Jesus Christ. That's what we're judged by. Now, I don't think that I thought about this at an earlier age. I was busy making new chapters, weren't you? Because this new chapter would give me security. This new chapter would give me success. This new chapter would let me enjoy. This new chapter would give me fun. This new chapter would let me experience something. And all the while, every time that I focused on those new chapters, I pretty much shut the old chapter, the major chapter, the chapter where I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I focused on the new ones. But he was making inserts. What were those inserts in my major chapter, the chapter I got saved in? What was my insert that day? Forgot to pray for me again. Forgot to come and talk to me. Chose not to come to worship because he would rather do something else. Gave him an opportunity to serve, but he did something a little more selfish. Another day, hasn't picked up his Bible. Refuses to listen to anything that glorifies me. Took part in something that blasphemed me. Can we go on and on? I'm talking to Christians here. Have you ever closed your main chapter and got focused on your new chapters? And the only thing that was written in your main chapter were things that had to do with being away from God. Things that had to do with being disobedient to God. That ever happened to anybody in here? Just me? Anybody in here? You want to let them know, okay? Or they'll think that's just me talking to them. When they hear that you've been through it, they'll understand, oh, it's not just the preacher filling up some time today. Amen. Most of you that are here today have accepted the Lord as your Savior. And if so, we have to realize that in the chapter in your life when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, it's the most important chapter in your life's book. And no matter how many new chapters you start and finish, they all need to include things that will be added to the chapter that started your Christian life. This needs to be the biggest chapter in your book. Your other chapters will start and end, whether it be a relationship or a job or a career or a team you play on, or a school you go to, or a friend group, or a new location you happen to move to, whatever it is. Aren't there chapters in your life that you thought were so solid you tried to get to so long and they've ended a while ago and you're on to new ones? I mean, you stressed to get to these new chapters, start them, and now they've ended. Has that happened to anybody? See, you need to let them know because they're beginning to do new chapters and they're going to get all stressed out thinking, if this doesn't work out, I don't know what's going to happen. And they don't realize that a lot of these new chapters are just temporary chapters anyway. It's all about the main chapter. Thank you. That way they'll know it's happened to you. It's happened to all of us, hasn't it? I want to keep them from it. I don't want them to have to experience it. Each new chapter in life is going to introduce you to a new environment, new people. When you leave high school and go to college, listen, young people, you're going to be introduced to a new group of people. You're going to be taught by people who want you to accept new ideas. You're going to have new opportunities available to you, and you're going to say, well, I'm in college, and you know that's the college way, and you're going to feel like you have a right to do them. And you've got some people who are so naive as to be able to enforce that or reinforce that to you and say, well, I know they're in college. They're going to do that. You see, you're going to have a chance in these new chapters to fail. And you say, well, I'm not going back to school. Well, the workforce is the same way. Each new job, each new place you go, do you know that you're going to be around new people that think differently? All it takes is for you to be around a couple of people that think differently, and then you begin to just listen and listen, and all of a sudden, you're not thinking the way you used to. You're thinking the new way they did. You opened a new chapter, and the influences in that new chapter made you start acting a different way. And before long, you might have known it was wrong to begin with, but now you're participating in it. Now this new person or friend group have come around you, and now that's what you do. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? It's school, it's work, it's everywhere. It'll be in your new chapter. We think sometimes, and I listen to parents. Parents tell me they were so good, and I taught them this and that, and they started getting around those people. They were around that crowd, and they got with the wrong crowd. And now, look, this is happening to them, and that's happening to them. And I'm going to tell something to parents today. You can say that for a while, and you need to guard that. But before long, your child might be the wrong crowd. You say, what do you mean? Well, at the same time you're saying that they're around those people over there, those people are saying, hey, my child's around that person. They're talking about your kid. You can be the wrong crowd thinking that you're around the wrong crowd. Interesting how that works. So how do you know? Well, I'm listening to both parents talk. You get a good perception of things that way. Nobody thinks it's their child. You see, in order for you to please God and receive the blessings of God in every new chapter of your life, you have to continue to focus on the one chapter of your life that will determine the rest of your life, your eternal life. In all of these other new chapters that make up your whole life's journey, you're going to come into situations where you're going to be tempted and tested to see if you'll stop adding to the most important chapter. Listen, I speak from experience. I speak from my failures. Do not start a new chapter in your life and close the most important chapter. Amen. Why? Because you won't be blessed. You won't be happy. It may take a year of your misfortune. And if it does, you're lucky, because it could take 20. The Bible says if you're a child of God, then you need to realize He has promises for you. On every graduation card I've written, on every Bible I've signed, when people have come up and asked me to sign this or that, always put on there that one verse. What is that verse? Matthew 6:33. Right? What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, why do you put that verse? Because I wish I would have had it right here. I wish I would have had it right here. I wish I would have had it right here when I realized I wasn't putting him first. I was writing new chapters. This is the kind of money I'm going to make. This is the career. These are the people I want to be around. Listen to how they make me feel. Listen to what I'm getting to experience. New chapter. What was happening to the main chapter of my life? The only inserts going in the main chapter was forgot about me again. Put me on the back burner again. Put another God in front of me. Hey, he didn't talk like he was supposed to be my child. He didn't do this. There was nothing positive going in that chapter. Because I was enamored by the new chapters. When if I take this and apply it, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what this means? That means I need to take the main chapter, and before I start my new job, I need to apply that to my new job. Before I listen to this professor lie to me, I need to be able to take this new chapter and say, and take my main chapter and say, hey, does that go against what I've learned? If it does, listen. I'm going to stay with this chapter, not that new chapter. I can't accept that new chapter. See, it's all got to be weighed against what you seek first. Is it important? Yes. He promises you the blessings of God if you're obedient to him with the main things. Now, pretty important because it's a two-way street. You see, Romans 11:23 says this, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. You know, God has goodness and he has severity. For all the people that sit and, you know, we give praise to God and we say, man, God is good. And somebody will say what? All the time. Well, I couldn't say that for years. You know what I would be saying? God is severe. As a matter of fact, I probably spent more time thinking of that than I did that God was good. Because God in his goodness that we want to paint him is also apparent to us if we're a child of his. It says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fall. When you fall, when you get away from God, I'm going to tell you something. Life can get severe. The hand of God for some disobedient child is severe. Why? Because he loves you. And the Bible says he chastens who he loves. On some of my new chapters, I thought if I start this new chapter, I'm going to make this amount of money. It's going to buy me these kind of things. I'm going to start this new thing and that new thing. And so I forsook God and turned him away and said, I can't do that. I don't have time. I'm going to do this. And I want to do this pleasure and put him aside. Guess what? Did it bring me happiness? No. It didn't matter what I made. It took twice as much to live making twice as much. I never got ahead. I couldn't. God couldn't bless me for that. I wasn't seeking him first. I wasn't putting that chapter against the other chapter. When I was looking for happiness, did I find happiness? No, you don't find happiness that way. If you're a child of God, you can't be blessed. Understand, you have to be able to understand God's in control of these things. It says in the rest of this verse, on them which fall, severity, but towards them goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. That's a pretty important word. If you continue in his goodness, then goodness can keep coming to you. Continue. Pretty big word. The other part of this verse, the last part of Romans 11:22 says, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. How would it feel if you really embraced the thought that if you choose to pursue all these other new chapters and you stop pursuing the chapter you got saved in and you became a Christian in, that God would cut you off? What do you mean cut off? How many people know what you mean by being cut off? That child comes to you and you help that child and help that child, and that child continues to do this and takes advantage of you and takes advantage of your money and continues to do this and doesn't listen. Guess what you have to do? You have to cut them off. Cut them off. It's called tough love. That's what God does to us. What's he cut off? He cuts off your blessings. He cuts off your peace. He cuts off your just your overall happiness. Cuts off your prosperity. Cuts off all that stuff. Why? Because he's trying to get a point through. We started in 2 Timothy. I want you to read with me the end of these verses of this chapter. I want you to listen to the advice he gives Timothy. He says, verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Listen to this. I want you to hear what he's saying. "But continue thou in the things which you've learned." If you are saved, if you're a Christian, and you're standing or sitting in front of me today, you have learned the way of salvation. That's what he's talking about. You know what he tells you to do? Continue in that. What does he mean, continue in it? It's like I'm not going to continue in it. It's like I'm going to go out and I'm going to lose my salvation. No, when he's telling you continue in that, he's meaning as you start new chapters, don't close the other chapter. Gauge, use each new chapter and measure it against the main chapter. Continue in what you've learned. Continue. Let me translate that to you. Keep on keeping on. Right? Keep on keeping on in that same thing. Right? Continue in it. The reason that this is such a timely message to you today is because never has there been a time in your life that you will be tempted more to leave behind what you've learned before as you start a new chapter in your life. The Bible grabs you by the collar and says, "Listen, child of mine, continue in what you've learned as you start new chapters. Don't start these new chapters and all of a sudden, hey, you haven't been to church in so long, you forgot about God, you don't put Him first, you hardly ever pray, you're not reading your Bible, church doesn't turn you on, you're not listening to the right kind of music, He's never a factor in any of your decisions, and as far as social issues, I'm more towards this side because this is the way society is. I know the Bible used to say that, but I'm enlightened now." He said, continue in what you've learned if you want to be blessed. You say, "I want to learn new things." He wants you to learn new things, but he wants you to continue in the main chapter. Continue to live in the chapter of your life that you found Jesus in. As you start these new chapters, and what will happen? God will equip you to live a life that will be represented in your life's book as a life that will be rewarded now and throughout eternity. Every one of you, do you want to be a success? Do you? All right. Do you want to be a success? Sure we do. Nobody wants to fail. Do you realize that unless God's lying to us, which He's not, that if we keep the main chapter and focus on what we're getting written in the main chapter and weigh all the new chapters against the main chapter and continue in what we've learned to be saved until that chapter is our final chapter in heaven. You see, the chapter where you got saved in, the process of salvation ends when you step into heaven. Amen. And you live eternity. It's a never-ending chapter. Every other chapter that you've been stressing over is going to end. I don't care whether it's the preschool where you've started all the way up to the time where you might have been married to somebody. That chapter ends. The place where you used to live right here, that ends. The job you used to have, that ends. Your bank account, that ends. What you used to have, that ends. That pleasure, that ends. The only thing that doesn't end, the only chapter that doesn't end is your major chapter that you found Jesus in. And a lot of us shut that chapter a long time ago. Why? Because we wanted to open new chapters. We wanted to feel new things. And we couldn't live the life we want to live and keep hearing that or keep focusing on that. And the people that we are around, well, they don't accept our way that we continued in. They don't accept that. So we can't really be verbal about that. We can't really represent that. If we want to be in the new chapter with these new peoples, we have to sort of succumb to that, right? Every one of us in this congregation today need to hear the reality of something that we choose just not to think about. Every new chapter in life is going to give you an opportunity to continue to add to your chapter of salvation, or it's going to give you an opportunity to fail. There's young people that are in front of me right now that are going to be going off from home, living in a place for the first time without the supervision of their parents. Opportunities are going to be open to them. The world's told them it's a rite of passage and they have a right to be able to go out and experience anything that they want to do. They're going to be around people they haven't been before. They've known some of the people they've been around now. At least they've known their background. They're going to meet people, and within the first 2 weeks, some of those people are able to influence them to say, hey, come on, come on. And when two people say it, it's even louder. When three people say it, it's even louder. For the first time, people that they even think, well, hey, they're a good person. You don't even know a person in the first 2 weeks. I remember going to school and thinking, hey, I met new friends. I didn't even got to the point of knowing whether they're saved or not. How can I know? And already I'm, all right, I'll go. You say, well, I'm glad I'm through with school. Listen, life's like that. Yeah. All of a sudden you're working at a new place and there's people that think different about things. It's not like it was before. There's women that will approach you and be able to say, hey, we don't call it adultery anymore. We don't call it anything bad. We call it an affair. It sounds better. They're forward. They'll come to you and they'll be able to entice you. And you haven't seen this before. It's a new chapter, but it comes with new stuff. And there's men that will try to come and say, hey, I want to be able to have a relationship with you, and it's okay, and everybody's doing it. So, men, women, we need to know that. You're going to be in a new environment with new people. That's a big difference. There's going to be new opportunities. That's a big difference. There's something new. Don't look at it all glass-eyed and enamored and say, man, I'm here. Look at it cautiously and guard yourself to continue to put him first. Why? It only takes a little bit for the devil to get you, and before long, you're trying to struggle out of some new chapter that you have. And you end up having to crawl back to God. Like I said, if you're lucky enough to do it in a year, maybe it won't take 12 to 20, where you've lost everything as far as your peace, your happiness, your peace of mind. You realize, what have I done? Where's that chapter that I got saved? God, let me crawl back and throw myself on you. Please renew me again. What happened to all that time? You see what I'm saying? God tells you this in His Word because He loves you. You know what He tells you to do? Continue, continue, continue in the things that you have learned. Why? Hold on. The Bible is your authority. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. That means you can learn from it. It tells you what you've done wrong for reproof. It tells you how to straighten out something. Don't think you're never going to do nothing wrong. It tells you how to straighten out something. That's correction. It says for instruction in righteousness. It'll tell you what's right and wrong. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit will thump on your heart and tell you, don't do it, don't do it. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. If you deny that voice and don't listen to that voice long enough, it'll get weaker and weaker and weaker to where you won't hear it and you'll go along with everybody else. Because you fall out of fellowship with Him. Why? Because you're not in that chapter anymore. End of that says that the man of God, that means that God's child, may be perfect, thoroughly complete unto all good works. You know what that is? That's writing in that chapter. That's God taking your life's book out and saying, put me first again today. Had that job, didn't know what to do. He came to me and talked to me. He crawled up on my lap. She crawled up on my lap and she told me she loved me first thing when she woke up this morning. Don't you know we need to have things like that recorded in that chapter? Where are you at today? If you're here and you're lost, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, all those new chapters are in vain, because the final chapter the final chapter is the eternal lake of fire. We call it hell. It'll be no different than what we read before. When your life's book is perused through and there's no place at all where you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lamb's book of life is open and your name's not in there. It says, and all those names that were not written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the eternal lake of fire. That's not my words. That's God's words. So what do you need to do? You need to come start that chapter today. The main chapter, the major chapter, and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you to save you from hell. He died for you to give you eternal life and companionship with Him so He could bless you. And Christian, today, which new chapters are we focusing on? You say, is it wrong to have new chapters? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But it's wrong to make those new chapters the main chapters. Those chapters have to wrap around the chapter that you're adding to every day. Does that make sense? Stand with me today. Father, I love You, I praise You, and I thank You for the time You've given us to speak. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word, how true it is. I pray, God, that the message goes out today and, Lord, finds each person where they are. I pray that if there's anyone here that's lost, they would come to salvation knowledge today and know they need to start this chapter in their life. And, Lord, for all Christians that are here, Lord, let us be able to look and see if this has happened to us. And, God, as people cry out to You today, Lord, I pray that You renew them. Open that new chapter back up and let them see the zeal and the desire to start adding to that chapter. For these young people, I pray You guard them, Lord, as their new chapter begins. Convict them and protect them. I pray, Lord, as prayers are lifted up all over this room today and as the altar, Lord, is filled with people who are praying, Lord, and we recognize that, I pray, God, that Your presence comes upon this place. In Jesus' name, amen.